Galatians chapter number 3, Galatians chapter number 3, and I really do want you to listen to me tonight in a special way. It's going to be a little bit different of a study, and I think it will be very practical and helpful, but let me start by saying this. You can't improve the Word of God. You can't change the Word of God and do it your way and do it right. I got a text late this afternoon. Somebody had been to our church years ago. It was Brother Bill Davis, Brother Fugit's youth director. Brother Davis said, hey, he said, I just talked to Brother Jeremy. He said he was at your church and couldn't believe all he saw. He said, shoot me some pictures. So I did. He said, man, I remember when that was nothing but an empty field. And I said, yes, sir, it was an empty field, but it's full now and God's blessing it. And I made the statement, when you do it God's way, it works. And he said, boy, the footprints of God's all over that place. And that is a true statement. They are. And I've done my best to show you from Scripture everything we do. We might disagree from time to time. Brother Patrick and I were talking last week. He disagrees with me because he likes the Apostle Peter. I said that's because he's most like. No, he said that. I didn't. I said, by the way, I probably am more like him too. But I agree with Apostle Paul at first. Then I agree Paul did wrong later. So we might from time to time disagree with a few little things like that, but it's not major doctrine, all right? And we were teasing one another, by the way, somewhat. Galatians chapter 3, let's start reading in verse number 1. And I want you to look at some words with me tonight, and I think I can help you. O foolish Galatians, notice the word foolish there. Did you notice it's all in caps? Those of you that text a lot, what does that mean? Yeah. Emphasis. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now look at me. The church here in Galatia, by the way, which is kind of northwestern Turkey today, has been infiltrated with bad doctrine. And God is telling them how surprised he is that they are confused so quickly. Notice what it says in verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Go back with me to chapter 1. Look at verse number 6. We read this several weeks ago. Look at verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now notice what he said. I marvel that you're so soon removed from the truth. Then he says in chapter 3, oh, you foolish Galatians. Now, I want you to notice something here. Their thirst for learning has caused them to draw towards bad doctrine. And now they're confused. Look at me for just a moment here. I've used this statement a lot in my preaching. I'll define it a little more clearly tonight. Education has become a god in America. But it is a false god. You can seek so much truth that you seek wrong as truth. Everybody doing okay? Well, education's the answer to everything, preacher. Okay. If education's the answer to everything, then let's put guns and ammunition in school and have gunfiring class. And none of these kids will ever shoot anybody. Come on now. Oh, I'm afraid of guns. No, I'm afraid of bad people. Have you ever met somebody that had a lot of education and they couldn't blow their own nose? Yeah. It's usually the ones teaching in the higher institutions. There are some people that are so learned that they don't know anything practical. They can vomit out a lot of facts, but they don't really understand anything. Now, listen to me very carefully. If you're not careful, you can get addicted to education to the point that it's like a drug. There was a day very few people went to college. We have more people going to college than ever before and fewer that can read, write, and none of them can count change back. So has their education done any good? So it's obviously not education, it's education about truth that is good. I'll put proof in the pudding. My school against any public school. Bring it on, Grace Baptist Church School. I'm not afraid of it. Our kids by the end of kindergarten can read. By the time they're in second grade, their reading level is nearly at a junior high school level. I'll put them up against anybody any day. When 79 is failing in a test here, most of you would have never passed. You'd be doing all right? Some of you ought to be glad you didn't come here. Now, bad doctrine is the same way. We have religious ministers who think they're scholarly, listening to Dr. Fatbottom that wouldn't walk across the street to win a lost soul to Christ. Come on now. And you think the guy that has never won a person to Christ is more scholarly than a soul-winning, independent, loudmouth Baptist preacher. Well, I hate to tell you something. If all you do is take in, that's called the Dead Sea. That's what 1 Corinthians talks about. Knowledge puffeth up. Do you know what that term puffeth up means? Hang on. You go down the road and look at that deer that got hit last week. And if you drive by it this week, its belly looks like a snare drum that's about that big around and it's about ready to pop. Its legs are sticking out like this. Now, wait a minute. It's all puffed up, right? Is it puffed up with good or bad? I'll let you go poke it and find out. Say, preacher, okay, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. That's exactly what the term puffeth up means. It means filled so full of defilement that it's dying on the inside and about to explode. And if you're not careful, seeking too much knowledge causes you to search for knowledge in wrong places. Now, I'm going to warn you tonight. God restates something in a new level here in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, here's the key to tonight's lesson. Who hath bewitched you? Title of the Bible study is Don't Be Bewitched. I'm not talking about some lady with blonde hair and she wiggles her nose and lives in a bottle. But God says that, he said, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. Notice the wording there. That you should not obey the truth. Oh, you can try over here. You could go at truth from a different angle. No, 2 plus 2 is 4. There's no new angle to 2 plus 2. Everybody doing all right? Sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Had to stand the right way, sorry. Sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Guess what? There's no new angle to it. I don't care how you slice it, it's going to happen that way. Now, that's truth. I want us to focus our attention, though, on the word bewitched. God does not want his people bewitched. Now, remember, God spoke these words. These aren't Paul's words. These are God's words. God was asking who bewitched the people in the church of Galatia that they don't want to obey the truth now. The gospel is the truth in question. That's why in Galatians 1, 6 and 7, he's talking about another gospel or one that would pervert it. We read later in chapter 3 here that it talks about the law and faith. And they that are of the faith are of the children of Abraham. God says that by faith, Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham got saved the exact same way that every person in this room who has ever been saved got saved. The only difference being Abraham looked ahead to what Jesus would do. We look back at what Jesus did do. That is the only difference. It took the same amount of faith. It was exactly the same. Well, the Old Testament's law and the New Testament's grace. You've believed the Catholics and the Jews and not God. He said, here, it's not by the keeping of the law, but by faith. Everybody doing okay? Jesus wasn't a Jew, he was a Hebrew. Jew is a religion. It's Judaism. Jesus was never a religious Jew. He was Hebrew by birth of the seed of Abraham. He was an Israelite. Everybody doing okay? They're not the same word. Now, so this truth is the gospel. And he said this, he says, the devil has been influencing man forever about having their own gospel. You don't need to worry about what God wants. You can get to heaven on your own. You decide right and wrong. God doesn't need to tell you. Well, I hate to tell you something. According to Hebrews 12:2, Jesus was the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He not only authored it, he completed it. He actually did the gospel. He didn't just write about it. He didn't foretell it. He fulfilled it as well. Now, religion, including Judaism, has perverted the truth of the gospel and hold God hostage, saying that God has to accept man's ways, not his way. Go to Jude. Just go to the book of Revelation and turn back a page, and you'll be at the book of Jude. Jude 10, there's only one chapter, verse 10. If your book of Jude has more than one chapter, throw your Bible away. Jude, verse number 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Sounds like our world today, doesn't it? That there's not two genders, there's a multiplicity of genders, the rainbow people, the weirdos. Look at verse 11. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of whom? Cain. And ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now look at me. Thou hast gone in the way of Cain. All the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Don't turn there. But if you go back all the way to Genesis chapter 4, you have the account of Cain and Abel. God said, bring a sacrifice that's a blood sacrifice. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a sheep herder and a keeper of the flocks. Watch me. Cain and Abel were to bring blood sacrifices to God. Cain brought the best of the fruit of the land, brought it before God, but Abel, his brother, brought a blood sacrifice. And God said, Cain, you didn't obey me. You brought the wrong thing. And Cain gets mad. Cain says, God, I'm not going to sell this to my brother. You either take what I have or else. God says, Cain, I love you, but you're disobeying me. As a matter of fact, God said, Cain, if you'll just open the door, I've provided a lamb there that will jump into your arms. It says, sin lieth at the door. Literally means a sin offering was lying there, ready to jump into his arms for God to take as Cain's sacrifice. Cain said, don't like it? You don't want my way? Too bad. By the way, Cain got so angry he went out and killed his brother over it. Now listen to me. Cain said, I'm going to do it my way, and God has to accept it my way. Everybody doing okay? That's what religion is today. Religion's all about doing it the church's way. How about the Bible way? How about God's way? Now, I haven't even really started yet. They have gone in the way of Cain. They want the gospel their way. I hate to tell you this, but God is not a Burger King God. You don't get it your way. God's military chow. You hold the plate out, he flops her down. If it's baked beans and weenies, you get baked beans and weenies. Doesn't matter if it's 2 in the morning. Doesn't matter if it's 2 in the afternoon. Whatever they flop, you eat. So, but I don't like it. You don't have to like it, but you're going to eat it. Everybody doing all right? You say, well, that's not very nice, preacher. Well, dying and going to hell is not real nice either. So, here we go. Number one, bewitching comes by listening to wrong doctrine. The word bewitch literally means to trick. It literally involves witchcraft. It means to make lies as though they are true. So, bewitching comes by listening to wrong doctrine. And I'm going to use another word here with doctrine, with wrong truth. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Study truth, not error. Study truth, not wrong doctrine. Now, I'm going to draw a line in the sand here that's my line. I don't expect anybody else in this room to draw this line, okay? But I, as your pastor, have to protect what little I have left up in here. And I chose a long time ago that I would not read fiction. Because I want to fill my mind with truth, not non-truth. I don't read anything that's fiction other than the news a little bit. Seriously, I don't. My daughter's sitting here, she's 27, 26, 29. 37? That's not possible. 26 years old. She's never watched her dad, other than a child's book for infants, read a fiction book. Sat down with my grandson and read a book about animals with him a little bit. But that's about as far as I go. You say, why, preacher? Because I have to fill my mind with truth. I've got to be so full of truth that God can grab what truth is in there and use it however he needs to. I'm not saying it's sinful to read fiction. Everybody understand that? You're just looking at somebody that does not read it. I don't have fiction books. Say, why, preacher? Because I can't afford to put that into my brain. I've got to be filled full of truth to be able to help people, and I never know what I need to help them with, so I got to keep packing the truth in. Study truth, and truth reveals error. If you went to work at a bank, you don't study counterfeit bills. You study real money. They will give you a $50 bill or a $100 bill, and you're to study it, and they give you like 2 hours. You have to learn how it feels, every little ridge. You have to understand all the different components of it. And they'll give you a stack of $100 bills that big, and they'll tell you to find the one counterfeit bill in it. Do you know that most people get it the first time? Because you've looked at so much real money that by the time you get to the error, it reveals itself. You learn error by learning truth, not studying the error. Do you know how many different types of counterfeit bills are out there? Thousands of different kinds. You could never study them all. So it's easier to study truth and let truth reveal error than study error to find out what the error is so that you might someday run across it again and recognize it. I don't study Jehovah's false witness doctrine. I don't study Catholic doctrine. I don't study Mormon doctrine. I don't study any of the false religions' doctrines because I don't want to know what their doctrines are. Say, well, how do you win them to the Lord, preacher? Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, we're all sinners. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Say, but what about, I start in Romans 3:10, 3:23, 6:23. I don't care who it is, what it is. How do you deal with somebody with a red dot on their forehead? I deal with that the same way I deal with anybody else. Now, if they don't know who Jesus is, I got to back up a little farther. And I've done that before. But the gospel is nothing but the same for everybody. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on now. Listen to the next couple statements here. Man's desire to learn is often what gets man in trouble. We start learning what we should not learn and end up confused. We start studying things that we have no business studying because it sounds interesting to us. So we want to learn more why they are what they are, and we end up more confused than when we started. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 16. Look at verse number 13. Folks, I want to help you tonight, and I'm fixing to make some of you mad in about 15 minutes here, so hang on. John chapter 16, look at verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, now watch this, he, that's a person, right? When he, who's that? The Spirit of truth. Small s or capital S? That's the what? Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, of what? Truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all facts? No. Into all what? Truth. Into all error? No, into all what? Truth. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit's not in us studying error. The devil is, but the Holy Spirit's not. Now watch this. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. Say, preacher, how do you learn so many things? Because I've filled my mind with truth and let the Holy Spirit guide me in all truth. Don't comment on this. I know I'm not the smartest person in the room, but there's few people probably that know as many things on as many topics as I do, or have the resources to get the knowledge necessary. Now, I say that to say this, not arrogantly. I say that because it's a matter of being Holy Spirit led. Go to John chapter 14. Just two pages back or so. John chapter 14. Look at verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Those are truths, right? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the spirit of what? Okay, you sound like Methodist tonight. Even the spirit of what?
Spirit.
There we go. Whom the world cannot, what's the next word?
Receive.
Oh, they didn't receive the truth because they wouldn't receive salvation. So they can't receive the Holy Spirit. They can't be led by the Holy Spirit because they've not received the gospel. Now watch this. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. He can guide you in all truth. All truth. Skip down to verse number 26. Same chapter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you how many things?
All
things. And bring what? All things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Did you know that a matter of studying for a test is spiritual, not just mental? I got through Bible college on John chapter 14, verse 26. I studied before every class hour. I studied a little bit before each test and said, okay, God, I put it in. You're going to have to help me remember this. Because I didn't have time to study a lot. And I would pray and ask God to give me what I need. And I'd say, oh, Holy Spirit, it's on this page of my notes. It's right here. And there it is. I remember one time I missed one. I told the teacher, I wrote the wrong word down. I said, oh. He said, what's the matter? I said, I couldn't think of it. I said, I can tell you where my on what page of my notes it is. I can tell you the word before it, I can tell you the word after it, but I cannot tell you what that word was. He said, you cannot. I said, yes, I can. My notebook's sitting right there. He said, hand it to me. I did. He said, if you can tell me that, I'll give you full credit for it. I said, open it up this page. Here's where it starts. Starts with this sentence. Here's the word before it. Here's the word after it. He said, you got it right. He said, how'd you do that? I said, the Holy Spirit. He said, yeah, right. It was right. God says the Spirit of truth. He will guide you in all truth. Now watch this. That means we're to try the spirits to see if they're of truth. Go to the book of 1 John, all the way back by the book of Revelation again. Go back to 1 John. Look at chapter number 4. 1 John chapter 4. And turn quickly because I got to hurry here. Look at verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you, that's the Holy Spirit, than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Wow. So God says that there is a spirit of truth and there is a spirit of error. Skip down to chapter 5. Look at verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's people who are saved, right? All right. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is what? Huh. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If you have a Scofield Reference Bible, if you look at the inside note on that, on verse number 8, it says this verse in many places is not even, it's omitted because it's not valuable. Mr. Scofield is a heretic. He's changing the Word of God. Now, everybody look at me. You say, but he was a scholar, preacher. Well, he's pretty stupid to me. He has no right to say what part of the Bible is real and what part's not. Commonly accepted that it's of no value. I don't remember exactly how it's worded, but I'm pretty close on that. And has been omitted in many cases. You just denied the Trinity. That is a spirit of error, not a spirit of truth. Go to 2 John, one page over. Look at verse number 6. And this is the love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and a what? Antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not things which we have wrought, but that which we have received full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. It's raining, don't worry about it. If your windows are open, it's too late. If there come unto you and bring not this doctrine, watch what it says. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That's talking about Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and anybody else that denies that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God and the only way to heaven. Amen. For you to let him into your house, it's a disobedient thing to God. They're going to confuse you. And for you to say, it's okay, but God bless you, you have a good day, God said you just partook in their evil. Say, what do you say to him, preacher? I'm an independent, fundamental, hell-raising Baptist preacher, and you're not going to change my mind. See you later. It pretty well takes care of it. They haven't knocked on my door in a long time. And they only knock once. I think they put some kind of mark on my curb so they know where not to go or something. They'll probably be coming back because they're cleaning the curbs this week at my subdivision. We need to try the spirits to see whether they're of truth. Christian radio is filled with non-truth. People who write books and use wrong versions are using wrong truth. Christian colleges that are reading by books that have wrong versions and putting a label in saying, well, we disagree with the Bible they use, but it's good material, need their heads fixed. Everybody doing okay? How can it be right and good truth if it's used in a poisonous Bible? People who change start off good and then change. I throw it all away. Not just since they've changed. Say, but why, preacher? Because I don't know where along the path they started changing, and I don't want to go down the path they're going. Amen. So I get rid of it all. Some of you men shoot rifles. You know what I'm talking about. You might only be a quarter inch off at 10 yards. But do you know how far off you are at 300 yards? You're probably 15, 20 yards off. Because if you're already off at 10 yards, the farther out you go, that angle keeps going. And it's not going that way, it's going that way. I decided I'm staying straight on. I'm dead on the mark. And my friends, if they get off the road, they get mad at me because I'm making them look bad. I'm not making them look bad. They're just exposing how far off the mark they are. And if they get off the mark too far, I throw their information away and I don't need it anyway. I got a King James Bible. Who gives a flip? Everybody doing okay? I try to avoid people who have not changed, but they're spending time with people who have changed. Say why? Because eventually those who are spending time with people who have changed will change. It's at least going to corrupt them some. So, number two, keep good doctrine by knowing the truth. Galatians 1, 6 and 7, Galatians 3, 3. Read the King James Bible, not commentaries. Not study Bibles with notes from theologians who honestly wouldn't know God if he smacked them upside the head. I'm talking about Mr. Schofield, those in Thomas Nelson, others, Chucky Swindoll and James Dobson and Hocus Pocus on the Family and some of these others. Say, but preacher, he's a Christian psychologist. Did you know James Dobson's $10 million complex in Denver, Colorado was paid for by the Catholic Church? Do you know he got his psychology degree at the same place liberal dum-dum bozo down the road got his? And he's never used the right Bible. Everybody doing okay? I say, preacher, who is it? If you don't know, be blessed. Read the Bible. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. If you'll just start filling your mind with the Bible, eventually it's all going to start coming together because the Spirit will guide you in all truth. My pastor, when I was a teenager, said it this way, Craig, don't read what some man says about the Bible until you know what God said about the Bible. He said, the only book you need is the Bible till you get to Bible college. So for 5 years, all I did was read the Bible. When I got to Bible college, found out my first class, I had to get a book from the bookstore that Brother Hiles wrote. I thought, man, the guy wrote a book. I went down to the bookstore, Peddler's Way, and found out he wrote the whole stupid bookstore. 44 books. Thought, whew. I didn't know. The only thing, and as I read his books, I would say, well, yeah, I know that. I knew that. Ooh, that's a different angle on that. But yeah, I agree with that. I didn't go there to learn the Bible. Went there to learn how to be in the ministry. A man of God ought to learn the Bible on his own, not need some teacher to teach him. Everybody doing all right? Okay, moving on. Read the Bible. Be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. Learn the Bible. You'll learn truth, and error will reveal itself by the Holy Spirit and by truth. it's foolish to study bad religions in any place, especially a Bible college. I think one of the most tragic things is having a cults class and teach what all the different religions believe. There's been more men messed up by that garbage than anything I know. Everybody doing okay? I have 6 minutes. I have 3 hours of material to go. Let me very quickly go through this. The lost world uses bewitching to lure us away from truth. Remember the word bewitching? It literally has its root word in witch. Witchcraft, sorcery, trickery, deceiving. Acts chapter 8. Turn there very, very, very quickly. I'm going to read it as soon as I get there. If you're not there, just stop and look at a page and make everybody think you're smart. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man is the great power of God.' And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries." People like these faith healers, Oral Roberts and Roberta Shuler and Ernest Angley. You wonder how these people stayed in business? They've bewitched people. Joyce Myers. They've made a lot of money off of bewitching people. Now, hang on. Hollywood has bewitched Christians. I did a quick study today. Here are some, not a complete list, some of the TV shows and movies by Hollywood about witchcraft right now. Secret Circle, Charmed, Salem, The Covenant, The Lost Keepers, Hocus Pocus, Practical Magic, Bewitched, all of Harry Potter, no matter what it is, Beautiful Creatures, Good Witch, The Witcher, WandaVision, Oz the Great and Powerful, American Honor Society, Once Upon a Time, The Originals, The Vampire Diaries, Sorcerer's Apprentice, The Craft, Discovery of Witches, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Cursed, Witches of the East End, and Legacies. Now, I'm here to tell you something. That's not something that should be watched by Christians. Is all you're doing is confusing yourself with something that is evil. Now I'm really going to get in trouble. Gaming and videos that involve witchcraft. Bayonetta, Dragon Age, Little Witches in the Woods, Final Fantasy, Hogwarts Legacy, Mages of Mistralia, Wildflowers, Divinity, Original Sin, Witchbrook, Harmony's Odyssey, Baldur's Gate 3, Witch of Fern Island, Dragon's Dogma, Dark Arisen, Ikenfell, Left 4 Dead, Magica, Noyata, and Yennefer, and Venberg, and I have 21 pages filled with titles of games on gaming craft that is nothing but witchcraft. 21 pages full. I don't have time to read it. And you wonder why the preacher says what he says. You're not going to rear godly kids that want to serve God playing with witchcraft. You wouldn't let a Ouija board in your house and let somebody come in and do a seance, but you'll put it on a screen and let them play it, and it's okay. I'm here to tell you, it's not right either way. I got to hurry up here. No Christian home should be playing games that involve witchcraft. By the way, dragons are nothing but witchcraft. You go to the book of Revelation, it talks about the old serpent, the devil, the dragon. Anything that involves the dragons involves witchcraft and Satanism. Many, and I'm by far not touching this, but many of them use Satan's name as God, Loki and other things. Those are the devil as God. I've got to quit. The Holy Spirit cannot guide us when we invite wrong doctrine into our mind. How can this Holy Spirit guide us when we fill our mind with something opposite of truth? Tell you what, take yourself off of all the demonism of Hollywood and gaming for 30 days and see how much better your kids behave. See how much better you get along with people. So I can control it, preacher. Okay, shut it off for 30 days and show me you can. You see, when we invite wrong doctrine and evil and witchcraft into our mind as entertainment, the Holy Spirit cannot guide us in truth because we're shutting him out and we're putting non-truth in its place. It's that vacuum we talked about recently in a sermon. We've sucked the Holy Spirit out to bring evil in. And the only way is to put the Holy Spirit back to push out the evil. To the saved, evil was overcome by salvation. So why would we play with evil? Now, everybody look at me. I'm not mad at anybody except the stinking devil. I'm serious. If somebody doesn't teach you, how will you know? I'm not blaming you, but I will tell you this. You now know. You now know. Now what are you going to do with the knowledge? Oh, the preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay. But the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit does. And while you're gaming and watching witchcraft and playing with evil things like that, people call me to help them with their problems and come sit beside their bedside of loved ones dying and help comfort them. And God works with me and through me and people get saved. I get called from a business associate that I won to Christ years ago. And he says, look, I got one of my friends over in hospice. He's not doing good. Would you go see him? I.e., go tell him how to get saved. Went there 2 weeks ago tomorrow and won him to Christ. And 4 days later, he died and went to heaven. I'll take that over playing a stupid game about a dragon any day. Any day. Now, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm trying to reveal the truth. You've heard the truth. What you do with it is yours. But it will go along with what God said here in Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? I wonder how many times we've been involved in the wrong things and it causes us not to obey truth. I just wonder. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Does the spirit of truth control? Someone once said it this way. I kind of lean this direction. I wouldn't say that it's gospel. But anything that you spend more time on than the Bible in serving God probably has become God in your life. Spend more time on a game or with the television than you do the Word of God, we got a problem.